Excuse me.
She was turning it up and down. I was like, oh my God, I'd adjust it and she'd go the other way. Oh.
Such a dirty little thing that I can't say. Daytime. Yeah.
Corey threatened me last night.
Dirty little. Good today.
Here's what you can say, you dirty little digital slut.
Digital slut. All right.
You know, see, she even made that sound dirty. Oh, my God.
I didn't do it. Said it.
Yeah, but you thought it.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God, that was so bad.
Did I actually get mentioned in a retweet with Felicia Day? Oh, yes,
yes
I did.
Yes, we did.
That's hot. Hey, Felicia. Mwah.
We are in good company with our Claire Jeep Chick and F and Pride, F and Shorty, F and Junior ATV Lady, and Felicia Day.
Felicia Day. Hey, baby. We need to get redhead on redhead going. Just saying.
We have some vintage GGR with the interview with her some time ago. She's really... No, I'm sorry. No, that's not Felicia Day. Oh, my God. That's Morgan Webb. Oops. Sorry, Felicia. Oops. And they look nothing alike. Well, maybe they do a little bit. If you make Morgan's hair red, and get her some green contacts, they could be similar looking. You know what? I'm going to shut up.
It's the drugs, people. It's the drugs.
The Corey is be sick this morning.
Corey is stoned from Corey. And by that, since we live in Texas, I'd like to mention, we mean allergy medicine and cold medicine, not geo-hot medicine, okay?
No, never in my life. Never have, never will.
Me either. I thought I was like the only one.
No, you ever have people make you feel bad because you don't smoke?
Yes. Oh my God. I haven't so much as picked up. I totally admit I haven't so much as picked up a cigarette ever in my life. So then people find out and they're like, "Oh my God, how did you not? You should totally no. No. Why should I?
I've had friends go, "Well, I'm gonna get some, and you're gonna try." No, I don't think so.
Mm-mm. No, that's all right. I'm quite fine without, thank you.
I'm crazy enough. I don't need no help.
Exactly. And no, I love some of you people. Don't get me wrong. I adore some of you people. But some of you, I don't know. Is your craziness caused by this? Or were you crazy before? Or does your, make craziness even more? Because some of you are cuckoo. Just a little bit.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. I, as you all, you listen to the show for years, I've told you I grew up with a mother who was very brilliant. She held 2 degrees. She was also a drug addict. So I steer clear of that, of anything that's going to have some type of addictive properties, except for gaming, because I feel it's for the most part, a healthy addiction. I wouldn't use my rent money to pay for a game, but, you know, it'll make me work harder. I'll go out and find a way, you know, okay, I'm going to need to pick up extra contract work. I'm going to need to write these 5 books before Friday so I can pick up The Sims. That's about it. So my addiction to that is for the most part, healthy. But anything else, mind-altering substances, like I've had surgeries and they'll send you home with the hydrocodone. It's still in my medicine cabinet. That's how I have a high threshold for pain. I don't take it. I don't want anything to do with it, narcotics, any of that.
Yes. I think maybe I'll take the 2 that they give me at the hospital.
Because they push you. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. You will take these before you leave. All right, fine. I'll take them. I'll be out of it for a day. The rest of these are going to sit right here.
Dude, I don't find that feeling pleasant at all. Some of you that like the way it's pleasant. It's not good. Not fun thing for me to be that out of control where I'm falling down. Anyway.
Corey's dealt with me when I've been drug crazy. So.
Yes. We don't want any more of that.
No.
All right, we need to get on to our news. That's our morning banter. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I am Corey sucking on coldies. And that lady over there who's not sick is, what's your name again?
I think I'm Ginger, maybe. So, yeah.
Well, you got to let me go first. You got to.
All right, go ahead.
Because this is juicy. So you guys know the iPad launch happened.
Uh-huh.
Is it today or is it yesterday? Yes, today. Oof.
I heard lining up everywhere.
It is crazy. I got a new Apple Store that opened here today in Houston. And I was going to go out. Of course, I'm sick, so I was thinking, thought it best I not go out and cough on everybody. Or that's where I'd be doing the show from this morning. But so you guys should see the lines. Even here in Houston, it is madness. It is utter madness. And they did it on purpose, Apple. Anyway, so the Apple iPad is drawing a lot of fans and protesters.
I'm assuming they're protesting because Apple, if anybody hasn't heard, maybe you've been under a rock, Apple is using slave labor to make these.
Yep, that's one of the reasons. So the hubbub actually started about a minute after midnight when select Best Buy and Walmart locations opened their doors to customers. Of course, some Walmarts, like here in Houston, are open 24 hours, so they have people lined up outside just waiting. Because when it's open 24 hours, if you came to get something that's supposed to be released after midnight, they make you wait outside, which makes no sense to me. It makes a lot of sense and no sense. You set up an area, you know, near the electronics area and say, "Got it right here," inside and safely. But anyway, there were lines, of course, at some other third-party resellers, but the biggest throngs of diehards went straight to the mothership, the Apple Store. They started selling iPads at 8 a.m. New York time, or 8 a.m. their local time, you know, wherever they were. VentureBeat is reporting that protesters from Change.org also made their presence known at launch lines after reaching over 250,000 signatures in their online petition demanding ethical treatment for Apple workers. One of the protesters, whose name is Charlene Carruthers, told VentureBeat that we want Apple to release a clear strategy on how they plan to treat their workers. Apple is based around innovation, so in this case, we want them to think differently about how they treat workers. And that's in quotation marks. I like that she said it. What can I say? Some customers camped out the night before, though as always, a few cheaters paid stand-ins to handle the tedious waiting part. Man, I knew it was money you made. I should have gone on last night.
They paid stand-ins to wait in line for an iPad.
Yes, girl. So at the front,
wow.
The front of the line in New York was a Fifth Avenue, was a man named Greg Packer, who's a retired New Yorker, who's been in line since, get this, noon on Monday.
See, some of you people, y'all are nuts. Because
Greg ain't no fool. Greg said he was sponsored by a company called Buyback World to stand in line, and he even wore a T-shirt for them.
My God. How much did he get paid, does it say?
It does not say. He does say he was sleeping in a chair since Monday, and he says he's most excited about the iPads, MiFi capabilities, and better pictures. But the new iPad, they're saying, isn't a big radical departure from the predecessor, the iPad 2, but it is a solid upgrade. They're saying it's a little bit thicker and heavier, which I am definitely not agreeing with because I think it's heavy enough for some of the things they have you doing on it. The device's biggest selling point is this stunning new Retina display, which packs in four times as many pixels as the iPad 2 for 3.1 million pixels total. The device also has a new dual-core A5X processor to keep up with the heavier graphics processing and an improved 5-megapixel back-facing camera. Customers who opt for the Wi-Fi plus 4G version will enjoy Zipper 4G LTE speeds on Verizon or AT&T. Boo! Wow. And it is crazy. If you just take a trip around the web, you'll see all the pictures. There are people actually applauding when the person comes out with their iPad.
Applauding?
There is something wrong with our culture. We are broken. We are applauding for gadgets.
Broken and twisted. And while usually I am totally into that because that's kind of hot, not in this instance.
People are dying. You know, the person that made your iPad that you stood in line for is probably somewhere dying. They can't even afford to buy the iPad. I'm looking at the guy here with the Buyback World shirt on. Wow. I guess, they buy cash for electronic. Wow. So you could go buybackworld.com. People, I don't even know what to say to you. And it's, you know, my cold ease-induced haze. I just got nothing for you. I can't believe that they're applauding when you come out. If we didn't have this site, honestly, I would not go to these things. And because it just makes no sense to me.
Yes, I agree. I agree very much so.
I can see that if you needed an iPad for work, your boss said, you know, we got to have one of these. because it has some specific something. You know, maybe it, even if it was for us, like if, you know, we were here and we needed to have it to review for the next day, maybe I would consider standing in line. But I don't see the point for the rest of you other than I want to say I have it first. And this kind of thing has to stop, and this is why this stuff is still permitted to go on in Japan, because they're like, well, we got to get them their iPads, and the people are dying. So some of you need to just back up.
Dying, living in compounds, making what, $200, well, USD a month, I think.
I don't think they're making that much, because they were saying something like 5 cents a day. All kinds of weird payment things we're seeing.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts, and this is ridiculous, people.
They're making a week what you spend on coffee a day. So it's we really have to stop, and it's ridiculous. This is not a necessity. Would you stand in line for groceries? Is my question.
No.
So and some people wouldn't. I would stand in line for some groceries. But you stand in line for a gadget, which is going to be obsolete in approximately, 3 months when they announce the iPad 4 or 5 or something like that. Cause it,
see, I'm just lazy. I'm not going to stand in line. There's
no point in it. As soon as the hub dies down and Walmart manages to restock, because they're going to tell you, and they love telling you this, oh, we're not going to be having any restock until sometime in the summer. They'll have some next week. And it was the same with Halo. And not Reach, the one before Halo 3. We went around to the openings and we took pictures of everybody. It was a fun time. There was parties in the parking lot. Yay. And the GameStop, every GameStop I call says, oh, we're sold out. We're not going to get any more in stock. I strolled into the store the next day at my local GameStop and bought a Halo. They had a whole box full. And I didn't get in line. I got plenty of sleep.
Because the best way to get people to want it right now is to think, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
Until 2 days later, because nobody thinks about this thing. They got to have it right then, right then.
I don't got to have it. I'm just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. See, and this is why you and I, we think alike.
What can I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to cough, apparently.
And I had to cough, too. That was a synchronized coughing, see?
Seriously, chest congestion, not fun.
No, it's not.
All right, so, where was I? Ubisoft encouraged swearing and shoot mini robots. What the fook? Apparently, Ubisoft encouraged developer Demiurge Studios to make their first independent title, Shoot Mini Robots, as filthy as possible. That's hot. According to Demiurge CEO Albert Reed, Ubisoft encouraged them to drop as many F-bombs as they liked in the game. We realized we were going to be M-rated because of a handful of things, Demiurge CEO Albert Reed told Vox Games. We use beer for energy, there's some blood, and there are some swears in the game. I mean, the fruit fooker is a hat in the game. By the way, yes, I realize I'm saying that wrong. Anyways, with the game being targeted for a mature audience, Ubisoft let developers do pretty much anything it wanted and encouraged them to add as much blue language as they wanted to. In fact, at one point, they asked for more. Always ask for more, baby. Now I'm making myself laugh.
Wow,
Corey, it's Friday. It's Friday.
It
the
is.
The phone call with Ubisoft, that was up entirely too late. It was nice, though.
Spit out.
The phone call with Ubisoft was, so we're going to get an M rating. Could you put some more swears in the game, please? We don't want to be on the border with the ESRB. We want to be clear. So please, more swears. It was the weirdest phone call in the whole world.
Wow.
Reed seemed pleased with the way Ubisoft has handled its first original game. This was our first time really making an independent game with nobody looking over our shoulder. And every time we were worried we might have gone too far, Ubisoft would say, you know, go for it, whatever you want to do. Shoot Mini Robots is available on Xbox Live Arcade right now. And if anybody has played this, you could head over to GameMatrix.com and let us know, or Twitter me, you know, because I like to be Twittered. or follow me on Facebook and let me know how this was, because this looks kind of cool.
I'm sorry, I had lag in my brain. So yeah, I spoke a little late.
yeah, I'm a little sleepy. Like I said, I stayed up entirely too late.
I'm going to cut you because I saved a pink baby hat just for you, and you're like, oh, I'm going to come and get one. I don't see no baby hat. Gone.
Oh, you saved one? Oh, I'm going to have to come get it directly after the show. I'll come get it.
That's all right. It might be gone by the time you get there. Somebody else done bought it.
Don't make me log in. I'm right now.
All right. So, you guys that were waiting for a new console from Microsoft at E3 2012, not going to happen. They have finally hammered the nail in the coffin of the E3 Next Gen Xbox rumors with PR manager Ryan James, who is very cute, by the way, ladies. While we are all interested in our long-range plans for the future, we can confirm that there will be no talk of a new Xbox hardware at E3 or anytime soon, even. For us, he says, 2012 is all about the Xbox 360, and it's the best year ever for Xbox 360. The console is coming off its biggest year ever, a year in which Xbox outsold all other consoles worldwide. I hate when they do those stats because, of course, you outsold all other consoles. That means everybody's already bought one. How many Xboxes do you think people buy? I mean, there's a few people I know of that have 5 or 6 Xboxes, but usually they're developers or they do, you know, they work in the industry and they need all those Xboxes. But the general, you know, average person does not buy more than one Xbox, so, or more than one of one type of console, period. So if you outsold, it's because, hey, everybody got all the other consoles already. This, of course, according to GI.biz, sums up that while E3 might have some rather interesting technology coming from several studios, the hardware many have been hoping for from Sony and Microsoft will not be showcased in L.A. come June. Gamers can still look forward to a Nintendo unveiling the Wii U, however. And, of course, everybody's going to wait to see what Nintendo does because the other two are going to try to one-up them when they release their new consoles, which I am willing to bet any amount of money that by September, August, October, somewhere in there, you're going to start hearing about a new console from Sony and from Microsoft after they've seen what it is that Nintendo's going to do and how well it does. Because they did just release a new Xbox. Have you seen it, Jen?
I have not.
It is a pretty glossy white, and it comes with a white Kinect, which I thought was pretty, but not enough for me to spend money on.
No, I don't like white.
It catches dust. It is
yes,
pretty, but
yes, it catches dust, and no, I don't like white. Black hides any scuff marks, any dust,
spillage of juice, and stuff like that.
If you get juice near my Xbox, I will cut you every which way.
I get juice near my Xbox every now and again. I don't spill it, but sometimes, you know, get a little splash.
No. My Xbox, all my toys like that are specifically on a shelf away from everything else. So, yeah, if you're getting juice on that, you're going to get shanked.
Ooh.
Yes. My PC, my toys, my gaming rig, those are all my babies. You do not touch them. You do not breathe too hard near them.
I have spilled juice on my laptop before, twice, two different laptops, and they have
laptops.
They survive. You have to know what to do though.
Yeah.
And people don't. I may write that up for Tech Bitch this weekend. How to save your laptop when you spill juice on it? Because some of you just like
flip it upside down and yeah.
There's lots of steps. That's the first one. Well, that's the second one actually. But it was the first one. I'll tell you later. We'll make them.
Okay. All right. I love me some zombies. You know I do. Gree gets in the game with Zombie Jombie. Yay! A social game where the dead guys are the good guys.
Oh, no. I don't like when they're the good guys. I like shooting them. That's not fun.
Well, you know, I said somebody should change it up. All right. Gree today announces the release of the first game of their new North American studio, Zombie Jombie. The new iOS exclusive title is a free-to-play card-based game that invites players to harness the power of the undead using a powerful deck of zombie cards while defending the Earth from evil humans hell-bent on destruction. Offering a series of social features including the ability to trade cards and play with or against friends, Zombie Jombie takes an unconventional approach to the zombie genre and brings a new type of gameplay to mobile gaming. In Zombie Jombie, players battle tough human bosses and complete quests in major U.S. cities as a zombie, a powerful being with a unique ability to raise and control zombies. To accomplish these tasks, players build and customize their own distinctive deck of cards by trading with friends, fusing multiple cards together and opening treasure chests that unlock special content. Because of the variety of ways players can upgrade and power up their card decks, each zombie... I'm going to lose my voice. This is ridiculous.
Breathe.
I'm trying. All right, so each Zombie Jombie player will have an exclusive experience. Zombie Jombie will also have ongoing content updates offering new game features and aiming to continuously enhance the player experience. All right, so again, this is free to play. Yeah, so if you want to learn more about it, there's even a YouTube trailer. If you head over to GamingAtrix.com this morning, I have it up for you. Yes, yes, I do. Go see it. GamingAtrix.com.
All right, so I love when I open news stories and it just does not want to open where it's supposed to. Hang on, it's catching up to me. All right, here we go. Okay, so
this morning.
Huh?
So we sound so wonderful this morning.
We do. We are so peppy. Okay, so you guys love you some war games. We'll love this. Iron Front Liberation 1944 is coming to a console near you. Deep Silver and X1 Software today announced the release date of the upcoming tactical shooter Iron Front Liberation 1944. Gamers can play their part in the Soviet offensive in the summer of 1944 from May 25th, 2012 is when it's going to come out in the USA and Europe. It's going to be released simultaneously, so none of this waiting around to see what happens. The publisher did reveal an official pack shot of the game, which I am hoping to get up on the site here shortly. I am all kinds of laggy. I need something. Speed up my Corey. of course, unfortunately, Iron Fist Liberation 1944 will only be released on PC, period. No questions. You can't play it on the Xbox. It is based on the engine of Arma 2, Operation Arrowhead by Bohemia Interactive. The story takes place in southern Poland during the Soviet offensive in the summer of 1944. The player takes on the role of a Russian or German infantryman using teamwork, tactical skill, and authentic war machines to battle for victory. The German campaign focuses on slowing the advance of the Soviet troops, while the Soviet campaign is all about breaking through the enemy's resistance. However, the player does not have to do all this on foot. Using their computers, tacticians will control tanks, including the famous German battle tank, Panzerkampfwagen. Somebody out there is like, damn, you're not pronouncing it right. I know. I don't know how to pronounce it. And that's the 6th version. Or Königster and the Russian Stalin tank JS-2. Or fighter planes such as Focke-Wulf 190. Yeah, that was really close, right? And dive bombers like Stuka or the Battalion PEQ. Online is where the battle really heats up. In the Iron Front Liberation 1944, players can either complete missions cooperatively or compete with each other in spectacular multiplayer modes such as Capture the Flag or Attack and Defense. Iron Front Liberation 1944 also includes an extensive mission editor, enabling players to intuitively create their own missions and share them with their friends online, thus guaranteeing that there will never be a shortage of new missions. Again, it's due out for PC May 25th, 2012. Wow, you can find it at ironfront.deepsilver.com. I'm just reminded of a game that we played early days of Game of Matrix, and it was an MMO, but it was based off of just being in a war.
Oh.
It was, you know, it was an army-based thing, and you got probably a brief tutorial before you went in, and it was supposed to be like your basic training, you know, if you were a soldier, a real soldier, and they just dropped you in the middle of a battlefield. And I thought it was well done. I don't know if it's still around, but I wish they would redo it. I think that would make an excellent MMO, because I think, and this is no dig at Call of Duty or Battlefield 3, they're both fun games, but I think they tend to glorify things they say, oh, you have this squad and you all are grouped together, and it's not always that way. Anybody that has soldiers in their family will tell you sometimes they drop these people off and people, you know, freak out and they scatter and it's just you.
Yes.
Yeah, and you got to get through yourself. So I really liked the play in that game. I only got to play it a couple times. I think my PC at the time wasn't that great, and so it couldn't really handle it for the most part. But the few times I got in, I felt that whole angst of, you know, they dropped you in. And you dropped in with other people. They tell you, we're dropping you off here behind these lines, and this is the point you got to get to. Good luck. See you. So you could either try to work with people, and it never worked out. The team that I was on stuck with me. So my first time in, I was hiding in a foxhole and firing, and I don't even know who I was shooting. And again, it seems like more realistic to me because I couldn't see anybody. And I popped my head up, and I guess the sniper got me, which is, again, very realistic. Because generally when I'm playing Battlefield or Call of Duty, I'm standing somewhere with my sniper scope on people, and they either find me or they don't, or, you know, I'm just shooting people. But I imagine in a real situation, it is chaos. And you probably couldn't just stand somewhere popping people and nobody would see you or notice.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sniper up there, get him. So I really wish they redid that. And the fact that it was an MMO and it was constantly ongoing. There was never any break. There was no loading screen, no lobby. You got in and you played till you died. You respawned somewhere else and you played again till you died. Then you respawned somewhere else. keep going until you get to that point. And if you don't get to that point, well, you'll just be playing for a few hours.
Yeah.
But I like the idea.
All right. What do we got? Oh, I smell a lawsuit with this one, actually. And I think there was or is one going on. Bouncy 8-bit MMO. An indie construction sandbox video game. Players can build houses, castles, even entire cities in this retro-style, massively multiplayer game. A game development project named 8-Bit MMO was publicly announced today. 8-Bit MMO is a free online video game where up to 250 concurrently connected players can shape the world block by block. Anybody think that sounds familiar? The game's engines allows for a wide variety of player-made buildings. Players can build solo or group up and create their own towns with friends for cooperative building projects.
Sounds like Salem to me.
Salem? Well, yeah, that too, but I was thinking with the whole block thing, that is, what is that other one? Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
In either case, a grief protection system protects the player's creation from unwanted interference. The game is humorous in tone with amusing quests and unusual enemies. There's also basic player versus player and player versus environment combat. The game's developer Robbie Zinchak of Archive Entertainment says, "I am amazed with the creations players are coming up with. People are creating some genuinely cool architecture, everything from towering windmills to sport arenas. One player even made a huge statue of a flying dragon. The community is very inventive. I can't wait to see what they come up with next." So the project was started first in 2001, but underwent multiple total rewrites. And art style changes. While the game is still currently in ongoing development, it is fully playable on the project's website. As the project is Java-based, it can easily be run on Windows, Mac, and Linux operating systems. All right, so if you want to see this, I've got a link up for you. Yes, I do. GameMatrix.com. Head over and check that out.
Wow.
Girl, I cannot talk today.
It's all right. It's Friday. Wow. Okay, so... And the time is going slow. Usually we are, like, trying to fit everything in. And good thing there's lots of news today, so that's good. All right, so apparently you people that are playing FIFA 12 are pissed off at EA. Yeah. Publisher EA has reacted after its sports hit FIFA 12 played a starring role in last night's Watchdog. The program reported on disconnection issues with the Ultimate Team online mode of the game.
Uh-oh.
According to GI.biz, an official statement from EA said that based on our estimates, 0.4% of our FIFA Ultimate Team 12 customers have been impacted on the PlayStation 3 and PC platforms. It also explained that the issue had not occurred on the Xbox 360 and that it only occurred with certain types of routers and that around 120 hours of programming had been spent fixing the problem. It released a patch earlier this week to combat the issue and is offering compensation to affected parties. Players who were most severely impacted experienced a major disruption to their game experience. They're saying that they'll be compensating these people with FIFA Ultimate Team packs and coins significant enough to demonstrate just how thankful we are that they stuck with us while we tackled the problem. Watchdog reported in the story that unhappy consumers had originally found little help from EA. Of course, we know how
EA help? No, that's not them.
When hit with a barrage of complaints from angry gamers, EA refused to take responsibility, claiming only a tiny minority of users were affected, suggesting the way gamers' consoles were connected to the internet was the problem, alleged Watchdog. But the problems affecting those on different makes of consoles, it doesn't seem to be at fault of the gamers, but the problem with EA servers. A view that expert over at GI.biz, Andy Robertson, agrees with. FIFA 12, of course, spent 12 weeks in a row at the top of the UK charts at the start of the year and made 8 appearances there overall. The title made EA more money than any other game in that particular series. So you would think they'd jump on it. You know what I think? EA, I think that you guys were not realizing you had such a large fan base for FIFA 12 because I got to tell you, this Sims 3 Showtime business, every time me and Petey Carey go to log in to do something, there is a patch to fix whatever it was. I said that last night. Whatever it was I noticed that I'm about to mention that's wrong, you know, that it's moving slow or I couldn't log in to do all the social stuff that they put in, there's a patch immediately. They're not even saying anything. You barely get to complain because they're catching it quick, which is how it's supposed to go. That's what we were talking about last night. You missed last night's show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're – but, you know, some people are crazy. You all Call of Duty people think you're crazy and Battlefield and, you know, we're going to complain. No, sim people you do not mess with, period. You may not understand you don't understand the crazy that's behind our sim players, but those people do not play. They will hack into the EA server in a minute and let everybody free sim beds for the day. That's why they jump right on patching that, and of course that's their top seller, you know, of all time. But that and the reason that those sim people do not play, oh honey, you can't say we're not going to answer the phone. They will stay on the phone for 12 hours. You can put them on hold. You can try the chat. I'm gonna leave you in the chat room for a while. They're gonna stay in the chat room. Worse yet, they're gonna go get on two other computers and get in the chat to make sure they find EA. These people are not playing. And I know how I know this because I'm looking at the boards going, damn, you were on hold for how long? Man, I would have hung up at 10 minutes. I gotta go eat and breathe. No, I'm on the phone. They're gonna fix my game.
That's hilarious. And kind of scary.
Yeah, they're hardcore. That's a hardcore gamer there.
That is some hardcore gamers. Some of you are nuts. I love you, don't get me wrong. And if you ever mess with my stuff, I will totally shank you. some of you are nuts.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now maybe if I can stop coughing. I've got an open letter. Oh, yes, I do. Game politics.
I started coughing. Thanks.
I know, right? We sound wonderful today. You people don't understand. Texas weather is ridiculous. It's hot, it's cold, it's wet, it's dry, it's all over the place. I mean, within 5 minutes, you don't like the weather, just wait, it'll change. So, an open letter to an Xbox hacker. Jason Helton pins an FU letter to the guy who hijacked his Xbox Live account and credit card and decided to buy a bunch of crap on Xbox Live. The love letter can be found over at Joystick Division and might be funny until you consider what this poor guy had to do to stop this interloper. For one, he probably had to cancel his credit card and try to dispute any purchases the guy made, and then he decided to simply wipe his Xbox Live account to avoid any further agitation. Okay, so I got a couple of things from it. He says, I curse you, your gamer tag, and your great-grandmother. I hope you experience nothing but getting pwned until you atone for your digital sins. May your avatar be cast into the pit of eternal damnation, and may your Xbox get the red ring of doom. And when you replace that Xbox, may that one get the red ring of doom, too. Twice! And may the alternator in your car burn up, and that cheap integrated Radeon video card in your PC burn as well. And may you get Montezuma's revenge on your wedding day, hopefully while you're at the altar in front of your friends and family. Wow.
That is a curse of epic proportions.
He goes on to say some harsher things. Apparently the most amusing part that the writer found was the rant about the thief's purchase of Fable 3 on Xbox Live. He says, and now that I think about it, you are a complete idiot. You tried to buy a downloadable copy of Fable 3, and while Fable 3 is a fantastic game, so I'm told, you want to pay $49.99 for it. Granted, it was not your money, but come on. That game sells at GameStop brand new for $29.99, used for $17. Get off your fat, lazy gamer tag, stealing ass. Get out of your mommy's basement, see some sunlight, and walk to the fracking GameStop.
Ooh.
That's hot. That is very hot. Hey, Jason, are you single? I gotta know. I got some friends. That's hot. Not only can he rant and he can troll, but that is amazing. He can write very well.
Look, is he cute? Does he have a...
I don't know. I mean, I got to Google this because, so I got some friends who are... I don't know.
I'll tell you, I completely sympathize with him. If I could ever catch people who've stolen from me, or if I could... I used to wish, like when I first moved out and went to college, someone stole my laptop, my car. And I used to pray. I would just run across that person. Or I wish that I could have caught them in the car just right then.
Mm-hmm.
I could just get in there and just, y'all know I'm hateful so-and-so. Anyway.
No, you are a sweetheart.
I'm sweet until you're stealing stuff from me. Then it's all bets are off. Okay.
I am apparently sweet until you show me you're complete crazy.
Exactly. Okay, so Zynga has made their new game, Scrabble with Friends.
Scrabble with Friends.
Scramble with Friends. Wow. The latest mobile game from Zynga's With Friends franchise, Scramble with Friends, cross-platform availability will give players who already love a good word challenge the opportunity to power up and unscramble their favorite words with players on your Android devices.
Hmm. Wow.
Launched this January, Scramble with Friends takes Zynga's original Scramble game to a new enhanced level of social wordplay. Players can compete against their opponents to beat out each other and the clock and find as many words as possible on the game board. Each match consists of 2 to 3 minute rounds. The player with the highest point total at the end wins. The game is simple, fast, and bonus-packed. In just a few short months, there have been tremendous responses to Scramble with Friends, with over 26 billion words found since launch. And they're saying they're very excited to bring the game to even more players, said David Koh. He's the chief mobile officer at Zynga. He says, we've continued to invest in the With Friends franchise and bring our games across devices and platforms to help them connect with friends anytime, anywhere. Currently, players shake things up with approximately 16 million rounds played per day and have used the Freeze Power Up more than 400 times on iPhone and iPod Touch. With Friends game, I'm going to need y'all to get rid of the With Friends franchise, please. Scramble with Friends is easy to learn but hard to master. Since launching the iOS platform, though billions of words have been found, players have missed finding over 184 billion words. Scramble with Friends is the fourth game in the With Friends franchise, including Words with Friends, which everybody knows, Hanging with Friends, and Chess with Friends. Really, Zynga? Zynga is dedicated to creating and delivering the best mobile social gaming experience that reflects its players' lifestyles and provides them with social experiences that they want at any time on any device, regardless of the platform. Y'all sound like me. Gaming tricks. Okay, so Scramble with Friends is now available to play for free on Google Play for the Android device and comes bundled with a home screen widget, allowing you to create a game or view the status of your in-game progress. The game can also be found on the App Store for iPhone and iPod Touch. And, of course, you can always go over to Zynga.com to check it out and probably play as well, since they're started their own platform. And just to give you a quick rundown of all of Zynga's games, Cityville, Farmville, Words with Friends, Scramble with Friends, Castleville, Chronicles, The Poker, Empires and Allies, Indiana Jones, Adventure World, The Pioneer Trail, Mafia Wars, and Cafe World. And I'm not done yet. Tencent. Oh, no, that is it. I'm sorry. Well, that's a lot of games.
That is a whole hell of a lot of games.
They seem to have the social market cornered. But I am not a fan of Words with Friends. I've tried to play, and it just does nothing for me. And I love word games. There was one that Playfish had out a couple years ago I was really hooked on, where you really were against your friends. It was a time thing, and at the end it showed you your scores stacked up with your friends, and if you outscored them, it sent them a note, and if they outscored you, you know, notes were exchanged, you know, basically a challenge. That I liked, but I don't like the Words with Friends. I have to keep checking back to see if anybody made any new words. I'm like, I'm bored.
That's hilarious.
He hasn't done anything yet. He's the one who asked to play, and he's playing anything. I'm bored.
Oh, she's going to get somebody. You're in trouble.
No, they're not in trouble. I just stopped playing. Just be like, whatever.
All right. What have I got? That's why I wasn't seeing the whole thing. This one's a short one, so I'm going to end up grabbing two.
Do it.
All right, if you remember me talking yesterday, BioWare and the whole Mass Effect 3, people wanting a new ending and even raising money for Child's Play. Was it Child's Play?
Yeah.
Yeah, for Child's Play, trying to get the new ending. Well, today, GamePolitics.com, BioWare says, open to discussing new endings for Mass Effect 3. All right, so, like I said, some gamers don't like Mass Effect 3's selection of endings and are petitioning BioWare to release new and better ones as DLC. BioWare director Casey Hudson had said on the company's forums that his ears are open, but he was waiting until more people have finished the game before talking more about the ending stuff. You know, spoilers, all that. He says, we are there to save a lot of debate on the Mass Effect 3 ending, and we will be more than happy to engage in healthy discussions once more people get to experience the game. We are listening to all of your feedback. Yeah, so maybe you're going to get a new ending? We'll see. But I kind of wonder, why would you want a new ending from a game? I mean, so you didn't get the ending you want.
You know, that's kind of really stupid. That's like me going over and saying, you know, I really didn't like the endings to, Schindler's List. Can I raise some money and you redo it?
Exactly.
Yes, I'm comparing Mass Effect to Schindler's List because it's supposed to be a beautiful work of art. So I hear. I have not played any of the Mass Effect series, and do not go, oh, you haven't. You all know what we do here. We don't always get to play that stuff. Play everything anyway. We try, but we don't always get to. I got to give some love to our guy here on Twitter, Drago Boffin. He says, my list of things to say from a fire, my kids, Xbox, wife. That is just... if she doesn't realize the house is on fire. Do you love his order, my kids?
My Xbox and my wife. Nice. Very nice.
That sounds like me during, when Hurricane Katrina happened? Afterwards, they did a, somebody was shooting a documentary on gamers. I have no idea what happened to that thing or if it's up or whatever, but my part of the interview, they were like, you know, what happened during the hurricane? You know, you're a gamer. What's the first thing you grab? I said, my Xbox. And I had it under my arm, and I did. That's the first thing I grabbed was my Xbox. Okay, we're leaving. What about your clothes? I don't need nothing else but this box under my arm.
I'm good. Clothes can be replaced.
Yes, this, my save games on here, no.
my save points, no!
Had the controllers wrapped around my neck. Yeah, because that was, you know, that was when it was still cords. This was the original Xbox, you know, cords wrapped around my neck. Had my the remote control, because, you know, I had the little TV adapter thing. Had that in my back pocket. My purse, like, oh, you don't have anything else? What about your computer? Let's go. The Xbox, let's go.
That would be a hard choice. Now, my computer would have to go. My Xbox, I love you, my Xbox.
Now, see, during the Hurricane Ike, I did pick up everything. I put everything on top of my... Although I live on a hill, so there was really no danger. The water didn't get even come close to my house. But I put everything on the top shelf. The Wii went up there, the PlayStation, the Xbox. Everything.
Yeah, I would be devastated. I built my Franken computer. I love her.
I know.
I'm here petting her. You can't even see this. Yeah, I'm all petting her.
Just right, Ginger. Give it some love.
Yes, I do too. It treats me good. I treat it good.
Aww. So have you been playing Orcs of Orcs and Men?
I have not. I've heard it's fairly good, though.
Well, Focus Home Interactive. Is that what they're... Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. So many games, so little time.
Okay.
And a company called Cyanide Concept and Production and Spiders. They did the realization and development for the PlayStation 3, Xbox, and PC version of Orcs and Men, have unveiled a new series of six screenshots, which we will post up on the site. Again, if I don't loop out. Yeah, if I don't loop out, because y'all know I told you I'm a little loopy. From the game of Orcs and Men. Okay, so they're saying the development of Orcs and Men is advancing very fast, and the last few weeks have seen more of the spectacular environments in game. It's a role-playing game, just so you know. Wait a minute, let me see if I can find some more about it. I hate when they send the press releases and they do it all backwards. Supposedly, it's supposed to immerse you into a brutal world at war where the empires of men's oppressive threat looms over the territories of the orcs and goblins. The goblins are systematically persecuted and slaughtered, while orcs not killed in battle are captured and enslaved. The game puts you in the role of the elite orc soldier from the legendary Legion of Bloodjaws and a league of warriors deeply involved in the war opposing the orcs and goblins on one side of their persecutors, humankind. As a veteran warrior who has seen the most brutal of battles, you are appointed by the orc commander to complete a mission that could change the course of war, kill the one man responsible for all this bloodshed, the one who has, for years, extorted the human masses to loathe and fight the green-skinned people, the emperor himself. A goblin will soon join you to aid in your mission. He is everything that you're not. But you find that this works to your advantage as you fight on the battleground and off, making advantages of their natural traits. They have their own skill trees that you can develop, while the orc focuses on power, reflecting his incredible strength. The goblin will benefit from darker powers and stealth abilities, making him the perfect assassin. There's a lot of stuff about this game. I'm trying to see, where is Cyanide? Okay, they're in Paris, where they're located. They have a studio in Montreal, Canada. And if you're wondering, who the hell are they? They made the series for a pro rugby manager, and also the people behind Blood Bowl, if you've ever played that. Blood Bowl Legendary Edition, Pro Cycling Manager Tour de France. They're also making the video game adaptation of A Game of Thrones. So, you know, the Game of Thrones wouldn't just hand that over to them if they weren't good. Wow. Ginger, you know you're muted, right?
Oh, my God. God, I was talking.
Yeah, I know. I know how you be. I was like, she's awfully quiet. She must be muted.
I'm all kinds of talking and commenting and da 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 da.
Yeah, the game looks good. So I don't know if this is one we'll get to play. You know what? I forgot about the Vampire the Masquerade game. So I'm going to that right after we do the show today, because I'm thinking I like the where this is coming from with being the whole orc. I wouldn't play it because I can't do orcs. I'm kidding. If they send it to us, we'll play. But I like when you get to play the opposite side. But at the same time, what is with all you people in the fantasy, the stuff? You know what I mean? This is exactly why GTA does so well, because it's the only one in its field that actually deals with real life, you know, real life time stuff. This is why they kick butt. Nobody else tries to touch it. And when they do such a terrible job.
Horrible, horrible job.
But somebody's going to come along. The next kid that's going to knock Rockstar off their pedestal is right now drinking his juice box at lunch at school.
Yes, exactly.
Look forward to meeting you, little Billy, or Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. We will be here waiting for you.
That's right.
All right, this one's kind of neat. South Korean team turns Wii remotes into medical tool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's relatively easy to detect ocular torticollis, and it could become a lot cheaper, too, as South Korean researchers found a way to for cost-effective game controllers to do it. The condition is said to occur in 1.3% of children, and key to swift detection of the eye disorder is measurement of head posture. It sounds easy, but it's not always straightforward, especially when children can't sit still. So one solution is to rest a lightweight measuring device atop the patient's head and track its position movement. The instrument is usually what's known as a CROM device, a CROM device, something that's also used in the assessment of spinal difficulties and can be bought for between $400 and $600. Deciding to replace the CROM with two $40 Wii remotes hooked up to a computer, Dr. Zhang Min Hong and his colleagues at National University College of Medicine published their findings, announced March 8th in Investigative Ophthalmology and Visual Science. With the Wii remotes onboard infrared sensors and Bluetooth chips replacing the cross-section technology, Dr. Huang's team noted that results weren't too far off the accuracy offered by full-on CROM setup. It's their hope that the high performance, ease of use, and low cost of what they're calling an infrared optical head tracker would see the Wii remote setup adopted in a more widespread clinical context. So see, people, gaming is not evil. Stop that. I'm going to smack some people. Next person tells me, gaming is evil, makes you violent. No. Stupid people make me violent. Keep talking.
You know what makes us violent about the gaming is when you say it makes us violent. That actually makes us violent.
Yes. You said I want to show you what violent is.
Exactly.
I got told I was scary yesterday.
You can be, Ginger. You have some scary qualities. And you know what it is? It's kind of that whole little girl thing, like in Bioshock. You're like that little girl with the big daddy. You're like, oh, what a cute little girl. Then she turns around, get him, Mr. Big. Yeah, so that's you. She's all cute and everything, and then you just turn around. And more to the point, like me, oh, her dress is pretty. Run!
Yes, because Corey is going to get you. You're going to be too busy looking at the sparkly.
Well, I got some bad news for some of our frenemies. Looks like there's some layoffs going on at IGN and 1UP. We got job openings, by the way. Well, IGN and 1UP.
I heard that. We're so sorry, by the way.
I am sorry. We do say some horrible things about you, and you said some horrible things about us, you know, to our face. which we appreciate, by the way. We like being told to our face if you don't like us. Don't talk behind our back. Say it to my face so I can punch you in yours. Anyway, certain staffers, including Mr. Matt Leon and Jack DeVries, have been let go from IGN and 1UP. Giant Bomb returns to the fold with its acquisition by GameStop parent company, CBS Interactive. It seems a number of employees have been laid off at IGN and 1UP. The employees have their new status confirmed via Twitter. IGN's Jack DeVries, 1UP's Matt Leon, 1UP's Thierry Gwynn, and 1UP's Ryan Winterhalter. Guys, I'm very sorry. Matt's tweet said, as of today, I no longer work for 1UP. Not sure what's next yet. Contact me and offer me glorious things. Matt, would you like fluffy cakes? Anyway, after nearly six fantastic years, my stay at IGN has come to an end. Thank you to everyone that made it the best job I ever had, wrote DeVries. There hasn't been any confirmation of more layoffs at either website just yet. Industry hopes all those involved do find new employment soon. That's hurtful. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, we are very, very, very sorry. I always hate to hear about people losing their jobs. All right, so I'm going to try to get through this one, and there is a lot of just crap to sort through, so bear with me. The Art of Video Games to launch 11 City Tour. The first ever chronicle 40-year evolution of video games, The Art of Video Games, is at the American... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm just typing.
Is at the American Art Museum of the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., March 16th through September 30th, following the game world from Atari in the 1970s to today's PlayStation 3. Visual effects and the creative use of technology and storytelling will be showcased through multimedia presentations. The aesthetics of the video game medium will be illustrated through the variety of art forms incorporated, including painting, graphic design, music, storytelling, cinematography, there we go, and technology. You know, people, I cannot talk crap today. Videos are online from the exhibition depicting the themes of the show, beginnings, inspiration, narrative, experience, and the future, including interviews from 20 influential gaming figures such as Nolan Bushnell and Takahiro Kojima, creator of Metal Gear and the popular games. All right, so there is a YouTube video, and if you want to see this, this is in the Yahoo tech section, by the way. 5 working game systems, 1 from each period, will be available for visitors to play, including Pac-Man and Myst, to demonstrate how innovative techniques set the standard. Visitors will be able to explore a total of 80 video games, from early days to contemporary design, selected by Chris Melissinos, founder of Past Pixels, who curated the exhibit with the help of the public, with 119,000 votes from 175 countries. Oh, it's free, by the way. Admission to the Art of Video Games is free. I love free. But a ticket is required and can be obtained online. The show kicks off with Game Fest, 3 days of play and screenings, including the original Tron, costume photo ops, and talks by video game pioneers Nolan Bushnell and Hideo Kojima, which will be available in the archives. So that is amazing. Again, if you want to see this, and I think I'm going to go and see where all they are going to, because I, you know, if they're coming to Texas, I think I might have to drive down there to go see this. Well, drive up, down, whichever way. And this is kind of cool. So again, it's the Yahoo Tech section under Gaming, the Art of Video Games to launch 11 City Tour. Go check it out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy sending condolences. I'm hurt for them, man.
Oh, no, that's horrible. But you can come up here and come play with, you know, us.
Yeah, you can always come play with us, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we love you.
I think, you know, where the shock is coming in is because it's because of who they are. How bad does the economy have to be for you to be laying off these lovely... These are really good writers. I know who they are. I've had the pleasure of meeting some of them every now and again, watching them be drunk and fall over stuff. So I'm hurt. Hurt them. Anyway... All right, moving along. Let me get off the sad words. I think it's the coldies and that I'm sick is making me feel all sympathetic because normally I'd be like, whatever. But, yeah.
That's what you get for working for the wrong company.
That's what you get for not being over here with us. Word.
Exactly.
No.
Exacular.
We are ruining that word.
I know, right?
You're butchering that word horribly.
I know, but it's awesome.
All right, so KIXEYE, we've heard us talk about them before, mainly because we love their name. And the guy that owns KIXEYE is just hotness. He is all got, woof, wow, that guy is gorgeous. Anyway, so VentureBeat is reporting that at first glance, KIXEYE may look like a puny social gaming company on Facebook. It only has 4.6 million users compared to Zynga, right? Zynga, who has 240 million users. But the company has become a financial juggernaut. I love when they say that juggernaut word.
Financial juggernaut.
Because it has the right users. It creates, builds, designs, free-to-play games. It generates a lot of revenue from the sale of virtual goods. It is an example of a game company that has adapted to the new social world while remaining focused on the hardcore audience that is willing to pay real money for games. It all goes as planned. If it all goes as planned, they might just be the next EA. That's what's said. That's what they're saying. Hey, I didn't say it. I don't know. Will Harbin, who's the chief executive and chief hottie, that's what he should wear on his shirt, chief hottie. He says, our games monetize very well. Just having 500,000 users in a game is enough, and we've done that without making sacrifices like offering special deals every day to our users. Now, it's, if it sounds like they're taking a jab at Zynga or Kabam, they are. He says it's easy for others to lose their focus on quality, and that's where we are laser focused. One thing that Kabam and Kixi have in common. Yes, you'll know I'm going to say it like that. Stop looking at your. Yes. That's one thing they have in common is that they've both discovered the hardcore audience on Facebook is in the millions of users, and that those users are gravitating to the platform in part because it is hyper-accessible. By that, Harbin says he means that the game should be simple to pick up, even for the hardcore. You shouldn't have to buy a disc to put in, to put an expensive console. Oh, and wait hours for it to download. No, see, now you messed up. They use the browser-based games that are distributed to Facebook's 845 million users. If you think of Facebook as a casino, Kixi targets the high rollers, and casinos make it really easy, not hard, for high rollers to play games and spend their money. Don't take digs at the consoles, dude. You might want to move to one day, and they're going to be like, oh, no, you too good for us. We got discs. And downloads and stuff. We too good. You too good for us. So now that the company is investing heavily to create the next generation experience on the social network, Facebook's platform is still slow and clunky when it comes to real time gaming with high quality graphics. To the extent that a game relies on Facebook services such as pop up screens for friend requests, it just won't run very fast. But technology is in the offing, such as Adobe Flash 11.2 running Unity or Unreal Engine 3, that will enable web based games to take advantage of 3D hardware in computers, allowing a big mass market of PC users to enjoy Facebook games with really good 3D graphics. Once that happens, Harbin believes more gamers will opt for real-time strategy and other hardcore games rather than simple 2D fare that Zynga offers. Ooh, Harbin doesn't think that technology is the limiter at all anymore in terms of doing outstanding games on Facebook. At the Facebook keynote at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, Harbin showed a sneak peek of an animation from an upcoming Kixi game with cool 3D graphics. The tech can run fine on a 4-year-old Mac. Nice. Anyway, I'm going to skip down this because we're about to run out of time.
We are.
Yeah, we're about to run out of time, and we got to go because I'm sick, and I'm going to try to get you guys up to speed on Paty Carey, who was singing yesterday. She had attitude, child. Yes. To close this out, Kixi is not without its issues. It did have to turn off its entire territory in Vietnam because the users didn't monetize well. So if Kixi is embracing advertising, it could very well monetize such territories, but the ads might be offered, might offend the hardcore users is what they're saying. So they're saying if the company can navigate those challenges, they're saying they are definitely a multi-billion dollar business. We wish them all the best of luck.
Yes.
And Harbin, we would like to know if you have any free spots on your knee because you are all kinds of cuteness. Got a little fashion sense, my goodness. Usually some of y'all geeky boys are bad with the fashion, or you don't realize the fashion that you have on. You don't make it work for you. You know, mm-hmm. He got on the pinstripe shirt. He's also got a jacket and a nice belt. The buttons on his jacket and some jeans and hair is nicely coiffed. He is clean shaven. Oof, nice.
That's very nice.
Dude,
very nice.
You need to do a Corey on your arm. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, we'll see you guys bright and early on
Monday morning.
Until then, you know where to find us, GamerMatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and we're also over on Cinch FM now if you want to keep abreast of our live reviews, which I don't know, Ginger, are you doing a live review of that?
I'm going to start today, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to, what's the name? What is the freaking name of that game?
Hold on, I've got it on my Vernum.
Vernum, yeah. So keep, if you're going to want to check out Vernum live review, be going, I guess, over the weekend. It, Ginger feels like we're not pressuring her. No pressure, Ginger, get it done.
I love you, Corey.
Yeah, and I got a few more, but I keep talking about that cut buttons game, and I love it. And I'm just, I don't know why I haven't posted the review. Anyway, get that out to your host over the weekend if I can come up with Logan. Fantastic.
I hear you saying something.
I understand you. And don't forget to go to log into APB. They're giving a top hat with special powers for free.
Ooh, very nice.
Latest.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!